Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 561.
Today we're playing a game of Simon Says. Simon says,
what do you think the tropes for space opera are? From reading up, it seems they used to be a soap opera in space and full of universe-threatening danger, but to me as a reader, it feels that things have moved on. I think of space opera as being something futuristic with advanced space travel as the setting, but beyond that, anything goes. I'd love to know your thoughts as a reader and an author.
Well, it depends on how picky you want to get. The rules for space opera are really similar to the rules for family saga or Shakespearean drama, meaning that you have to have both the universal stakes, the fate of the kingdom, the fate of the world, the fate of the business, something hugely important, and that fate has to be tied down to the intimately personal level. A soap opera is a soap opera because they were melodramas, originally they were melodramas that used the operatic story structure and operatic storytelling conventions in radio drama format in the suburbs or in contemporary settings, and they were sponsored by soap companies, so they were called soap operas. But the soap opera formula is a tawdry version of what you read in Shakespeare, what you hear in The Ring Cycle with Wagner, what you see in Mozart's operas, going all the way back to the plays of Sophocles. They're stories where the large-scale events that affect masses and masses of people are tied to the whims and petty power struggles of the people involved in the drama. I, Claudius, is a soap opera for that reason. And space opera has always followed that convention. The Foundation series is a universe-altering epic that is tied directly to the work and life and personality of Harry Seldon. The Gap Cycle by Stephen R. Donaldson is a retelling of the Wagner operas on an intergalactic scale, and the whole fate of the universe rests on a small cast of characters that are members of a very kind of fucked up family. The other stories, whether they're in space or not, that follow that convention, anything by Danielle Steele is totally up this street. Most of Orson Scott Card's epic stuff follows this convention. One of the differences that you will find with some science fiction is science fiction having a tendency to be a little more cerebral can dial down on the melodrama, but the big space operas frequently don't. The sorts of sensationalism are sometimes a little bit different, but they're always what the late 19th century authors and literary establishment would have called sensationalistic literature. It's literature designed to evoke feelings of suspense, thrills, fears, and desires. It grows out of the romantic tradition of literature, the Edgar Allan Poe's of the world. Anything that Ken Follett writes is right down the street, even though he doesn't write science fiction. These are those kinds of stories. And when we get to science fiction, your space opera stories would be stuff like the Dune series. I keep mentioning Dune a lot. I don't know why it's on my mind. I must be subconsciously looking forward to the new movies or something. The Dune series, a quintessential space opera. In fact, almost everything that Frank Herbert wrote was very space opera-ish. The Space Odyssey series by Arthur C. Clarke is a space opera that's really sort of toned down in many ways. The Niven and Pornell books are very much space opera. The Gap Cycle by Stephen R. Donaldson. The Foundation series by Isaac Asimov. The Robot series by Isaac Asimov doesn't quite count because they're not really in space for many of those. Oddly, of the big three or four of the early sci-fi grandmasters, Heinlein didn't write any space operas. The closest you get to space opera in Heinlein would be probably Methuselah's Children, but even that's stretching it a bit. the Earth Search series by James Follett in a subversive way, in the sense of subverting the form completely and somehow fulfilling it. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series is a space opera. Yeah, it subverts the form entirely by having all of the melodrama be so petty that it's not even dramatic, and he sort of crosses the line twice in that sort of way because the characters are so venial they don't care that their actions have an impact on the greater universe, and that's part of why it's funny. Quite a lot of Doctor Who, though not all of it, quite a lot of Doctor Who can be considered space opera. Some of my favorite books that skirt that tradition would be stuff like Nathan Lowell's books, because Nathan Lowell's books have the form of the space opera, the epic personal journey, the high personal stakes, but they don't have the counterbalance on the fulcrum, the universal consequences of the character's actions. He deliberately shaved that off in order to get to what he saw as the heart of a good science fiction story. He did a wonderful job. So there's another example of subverting the form to the point where you actually step outside it, and yet embodying and epitomizing certain parts of the form perfectly. And of course, on television, your space operas are things like Blake 7, Babylon 5, stuff like that. Deep Space Nine is the Star Trek series that is the most space opera-ish. The other Star Trek series don't really do space opera. They've got the exploration, they've got that sort of space opera-y feel, but they don't fulfill the operatic requirement of space opera. And finally, how can you get by without mentioning Star Wars? Star Wars is Wagnerian opera in space. It is so much Wagnerian opera in space. It's so self-consciously Wagnerian opera in space that references to Wagner's operas are all through them, visually and in terms of the way characters are named and stuff like that. And in recognizing the ironically dubious heritage of that tradition, a lot of the cinematography, especially in the first Star Wars film, is lifted straight out of the cinematographic language of Leni Riefenstahl, the famous Nazi propagandist who was also part of the German Expressionist film movement and developed the techniques for shooting giant operatic sorts of scenes in a way that came through and was emotionally impactful on film, because of course the Third Reich was all about opera. Seriously all about opera, which shows you the sort of emotional power in opera and how dangerous that kind of emotional power can be in nefarious hands. But that's the kind of power that we wield as writers, and it's always good to be reminded of that from time to time. Because of all of that, I don't think there's a legitimate one-to-one correlation between space adventure and space opera. They are frequently coincident, but they're not necessarily coincident. The far more direct correlation is between space and science fiction. Not all science fiction deals with space, but all space fiction, aside from memoir, is science fiction. Anyway, thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.